used to relish the writings of Jayadev Goswami. This line that we chanted is from the introduction to Jayadev Goswami's great work, Gita Govinda, which is all about Krishna playing on his flute to attract Srimati Radharani. And in the introduction, this famous prayer, Dash Avatar Stotram, 10 incarnations. Whose incarnations? Keshava, Lord Krishna's incarnations. Because in each of the stanzas, it is given Keshava Drita, that Krishna has assumed these various incarnations. And the seventh one is this Ram. What does he say? O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari. Everyone say. Who have assumed the form of Ramachandra. Everyone say. All glories to you. In the battle of Lanka, you destroy the 10-headed demon, Ravan, and distribute his heads as a delightful offering to the presiding deities of the 10 directions headed by Indra. What are the 10 directions? North, south, east, west, north, west, northeast, southwest, southeast, up and down. Those are the 10 directions according to Vedic understanding. This action was long desired by all of them who were much harassed by this monster. So, there are a few verses, of course, in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami, upon the request of Maharaj Parikshit, before describing Krishna Leela, Shukadeva gives a very quick summary of the Ram Leela in the 9th canto, and Shukadev told Parikshit, you have heard so many times about Lord Ramachandra. So he did not go into much detail. And before the 9th canto, there are a few sections, a few verses which describe Lord Ramachandra. I'd like to recite those few verses and say something about them. First, we can usher in Srimad Bhagavatam by invoking the 12-syllable mantra. If you can please repeat, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So in the first canto, in the 3rd chapter, Sutta Goswami is speaking to the sages of Naimisharanya. They are performing a 1,000-year sacrifice on the dawn of Kali Yuga. And Sutta Goswami has been asked 6 questions by the leader of the sages, Shaunaka Muni. One of those questions was, they wanted to hear about the Lord's various incarnations. So he said at that time, Naradet vatvam apana surakarya chakirshaya samudra nigrahadini chakre viryanya tapparam. In the 18th incarnation, because what Sutta Goswami did was give a list of about 20 or so various incarnations. So the 18th, the Lord appeared as King Ram. Everyone say that holy name. In order to perform some pleasing work for the demigods, he exhibited superhuman powers by controlling the Indian Ocean and then killing the atheist king Ravan, who was on the other side of the sea. So, according to the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are six categories of avatars. One who descends from the spiritual world down to the material world, that is called an avatar. One who descends. So, of the six kinds of classifications, one is the Leela avatar, who appears in order to display wonderful, amazing pastimes. So Lord Ramachandra, he is one of those Leela avatars of Sri Krishna. In the second canto, there is a conversation between Narada Muni questioning his father, Lord Brahma, the creator. And Lord Brahma gives a quick summary of the various incarnations of the Lord in the seventh chapter of the second canto. And for most of the various incarnations, he spoke one verse, but with Ramchandra, he spoke several. So let's hear what Lord Brahma told his son Narada. Asmat prasada sumukha kalaya kalesha. Ikshvaku vangsha avatirya guru nideshe. Tishtan vanangsa dayitanuja avivesha. Yasmin viruda dasha kandara artam archchat. Due to his causeless mercy upon all living entities within the universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his plenary extensions, and we should know the meaning of the word plenary. And just so that I was sure, I looked it up again today. Plenary means full in every respect. Along with his plenary extensions, appeared in the family of Maharaj Ikshvaku. And we heard, or we hear about Maharaj Ikshvaku in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 1. Imang vivasvate yogam proktavanaham avyayam vivasvan manave prahur manor ikshvakave bravit. Krishna told Arjuna that Bhagavad Gita was spoken millions of years before the battle of Kurukshetra to the sun god. Krishna spoke to the Surya, and he gave it to his son Manu, and Manu gave it to his son Ikshvaku. So Lord Ramachandra is coming in the dynasty coming from the moon. The sun. Krishna comes from the moon dynasty, and Ramachandra comes from the sun, Surya Vangsha. Appeared in the family of Maharaj Ikshvaku as the lord of his internal potency. There are innumerable potencies. We learn from the Upanishads, Parasha Shaktir Vividhaiva Shuyate. The Lord has innumerable energies emanating, but Lord Chaitanya himself, quoting from the Vishnu Purana and others, says that basically there are three major headings. The internal spiritual potency, the external material potency, and the marginal living entity potency. These are the three main divisions. But here, Brahma says, the Lord of his internal potency, meaning the spiritual potency. Under the order of his father, Maharaj Dasharath, he entered the forest and lived there for considerable years with his wife and younger brother. Ravana, who was very materially powerful with 10 heads on his shoulders, committed a great offense against him and was thus ultimately vanquished. And of course, that great offense was that Ravana tried to kidnap the consort, the wife of Lord Ram, Sita, Mother Sita. And we learn from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the agency of the Kurma Puran that Ravana did not steal Sita. He stole an illusory Sita, Maya Sita. Because a demon like Ravana cannot even see real Sita. Lord Chaitanya explained this, that Mother Sita, the universal mother, she, as was said here, the internal potency, she is completely spiritual. She cannot be actually seen or touched by any conditioned soul. One has to be on the spiritual liberated platform. So when Ravana came to kidnap Sita, she delivered her illusory, Maya, material form. That was what Ravana captured. The real Sita was untouched at all times. So that was the great offense, that Ravana tried to steal the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma continues, Yasma adad udadhir uddha bayanga vepo margan sapad yari purang haravad didaksho dure surin matita rosha sushona drishtya tatap yamana makaro raga nakra chakra. The Personality of Godhead, Ramachandra, can you say that name? Being aggrieved for his distant, intimate friend, Sita, glanced over the city of the enemy, Ravan, with red hot eyes like those of Hara. Hara is another name for Lord Shiva, who wanted to burn the kingdom of heaven. The great ocean, trembling in fear, gave him his way because its family members, namely the aquatics, sharks, snakes, and crocodiles, were being burnt by the heat of the angry, red-hot eyes of the Lord. So, again, as it says here, being aggrieved for his distant, intimate friend. This is a elevated concept because God is always enjoying, by definition. Lord Ramachandra is God himself. He does not know such a thing as misery or suffering. He is always in ananda. So why did Lord Brahma say to his son Narada, aggrieved? Because on the spiritual or transcendental platform, there are symptoms of crying, lamentation, separation. But because they're on the absolute platform, they are also blissful. Now we here in the material world, we don't have that experience. And that is because the material world is not absolute. It is a dualistic world. There is a qualitative difference between happiness and sadness. But on the platform of Lord Ram and Sita, even when they come to the material world, it's not that, and this is another important point, it's not that when Ram and Sita or any incarnation of God comes to the material world that all of a sudden now they're under the jurisdiction of the laws of material nature like you and me. That's not possible. No. So it may appear, as Brahma is saying, aggrieved, but that being aggrieved is another feature of transcendental ecstasy. And it said here that the ocean and the aquatics in the ocean were being burnt by the red hot eyes of Lord Ram. This proves that Ram is God. That just by his glancing, he can make the whole ocean very, very hot and disturbing for the aquatics. This is proof because, again, by definition, God has inconceivable potency. We should never be like the frog in the well who tries to calculate. We cannot calculate God. All we can do is accept the statements of God himself or his authorized representatives as they are given in the Vedas and simply accept them, that God has inconceivable potency. Lord Brahma continues, Vakshastala-sparsha-rudna-mahendra-vaha Dantair vidambita kakubjusha uddahasam sadyo subi saha vineshyati dhara hartur vispurjitair danusha uchcharato dishainye. When Ravana was engaged in the battle, the trunk of the elephant which carried the king of heaven, Indra, broke into pieces, having collided with the chest of Ravana. So, Ravana must have assumed a very great form for the trunk of the elephant to be broken into pieces. And the scattered parts illuminated all directions. Ravana therefore felt proud of his prowess and began to loiter in the midst of the fighting soldiers. And I recall my mother repeatedly instructing me when I was a child, practically every day, pride comes before the fall, my son. So notice, Ravana therefore felt very proud, thinking himself the conqueror of all directions. But his laughter, overtaken by joy, along with his very air of life, suddenly ceased with the tingling sound of the bow of Ramachandra. Everyone say his holy name. Ramachandra. The personality of Godhead. So, Ravana was loitering in the battle, feeling himself all victorious, but Lord Ram, simply by his shooting arrows, killed Ravan. So that ends the verses by Lord Brahma to his son Narada. Then the final section is in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Shukadeva Goswami is explaining an extensive description of the universe. And Shukadeva Goswami's description of the universe does not tally with what you will study in your school books. His description is a little different in many respects. But in the course of his describing the various varshas of Jambudvip, he has a nice section which describes a place where Hanuman, the great devotee of Lord Ram, one of the heroes of the Ramayana. So Hanuman, he sings some nice prayers which glorify Lord Ram very, very nicely. Srila Shukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King Parikshit, in Kim Purusha Varsha, the great devotee Hanuman," let's say his holy name, Prabhupada teaches us in his writings that you can also chant the names of Krishna or God's pure devotees, and that is also chanting. So if we say the holy name of Hanuman, we also become purified. The great devotee Hanuman is always engaged with the inhabitants of that land in devotional service to Lord Ramachandra, one more time, the elder brother of Lakshman and dear husband of Sita Devi. A host of Gandharvas is always engaged in chanting the glories of Lord Ramachandra. That chanting is always extremely auspicious. So what we're doing here today, this is auspicious. No, it's extremely auspicious to hear and chant about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra. That chanting is always extremely auspicious. Hanumanji and Arishtasena, the chief person in Kim Purusha Varsha, constantly hear the glories with complete attention. That's a important point. That one of the offenses in chanting which prevents us from achieving the perfectional stage of chanting, which is love of God, is that we become inattentive while chanting. But see, Hanuman, he's very attentive when he's chanting the glories of Lord Ram. Hanuman chants the following mantra. So according to Shukadeva Goswami, in this one area where Hanuman is situated, they're chanting these mantras. So this first one is very powerful. Let's see if we can chant it responsibly. Om Namo Bhagavate Uttama Shlokaya. Nama Arya Lakshana Shila Vrataya Nama Upashikshatatmana Upasita Lokaya Namaha Sadhuvada Nikashanaya Namo Brahmanya Devaya Mahapurushaya Maharajaya Nama Iti. Let me please your lordship by chanting the Bij Mantra Omkar. Everyone say Om. Very good. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto the Personality of Godhead, who is the best among the most highly elevated personalities. Your lordship is the reservoir of all the good qualities of Aryans, or people who are advanced. Krishna, in chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita, accused Arjuna of being non-Aryan, because he was lamenting for that which was not worthy of lamentation. So an Aryan is someone who knows the goal of life is to achieve spiritual liberation. An Aryan is someone who lives his or her life by the rules of the Vedas. That's an Aryan. Your character and behavior are always consistent. See, this is the problem we're having with our present government leaders, not just in America, all over the world. Their character and behavior is inconsistent. But here, Lord Ram, his character and behavior is consistent. And you always control your senses and mind. acting just like an ordinary human being. That's important. Hanuman says he acts just like. You exhibit exemplary character to teach others how to behave. There is a touchstone that can be used to examine the quality of gold. But you are like a touchstone that can verify all good qualities. You are worshipped by Brahmanas, who are the foremost of all devotees. You, the Supreme Person, are the King of Kings, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So you're getting a glimpse into the heart and soul of Hanuman. Because after the battle of Lanka, and Ram returned to Ayodhya with Sita and Lakshman after being in the forest for 14 years, Ram wanted to give a benediction to Hanuman because Hanuman rendered so much service to Lord Ram. He single-handedly destroyed the city of Lanka by setting it on fire with his own tail. Hanuman delivered the ring to Sita. He found Sita in the garden. Hanuman fought very valiantly on behalf of Lord Ram. So Hanuman did so much service. Ram wanted to give Hanuman a benediction, but Hanuman, he is known as Bhakta Raj, the king of devotees. Why? Here is how he is the king of devotees. He could have asked for any benediction. Lord Ram would have easily, surely have given it to him. But Hanuman said no. I am happy just to be your servant. That's all Hanuman wants out of life. This is called pure devotion. And this is what is taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that the highest perfection of life is to consider oneself nothing more, nothing less than the humble servant of the Lord, and simply to be happy and satisfied in rendering service to God. That's what Hanuman teaches us by his personal example. He simply wants to render eternally service to the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. Hanuman continues in his mantras. The Lord, whose pure form, Sat Chit Ananda, Vigraha, eternal, blissful, full of knowledge, is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature. And he can be perceived by pure consciousness. In the Vedanta, he is described as being one without a second. Yes, God is one. There is no competition. God is one without a second. Actually, there is a nice phrase, asamaurdva or asamaurdva. No one is equal to, no one is greater than Lord God, in this case, Ram. Because of his spiritual potency, he is untouched by the contamination of material nature.